We continue in our series, I Love My Church. And growing up in the Baptist tradition, this was not a good sign. But in our tradition, it is a good sign, beginning the sermon at 10:27. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Well, one of the most intense moments for me this week was Wednesday afternoon. Clay, his mother Kim, and I were sitting across the desk from a Navy recruiter, Petty Officer First Class Fernandez. I'm so proud of my son Clay as he is looking at colleges and looking at his options for post-graduation that my son is actually considering the possibility of enlistment before college or beginning college while enlistment. His chief motivation is service to his country, and that brings a lot of pride. What struck me in the conversation with Petty Officer First Class Fernandez were not the basics he shared. Terms of enlistment, what types of jobs and bonuses go with such jobs, how long you would need to finish a mile and a half run to graduate from boot camp. What struck me was the countenance of Petty Officer Fernandez, the sailor we were talking with. He talked at length at how much joy it brought him, knowing that he was in service to a cause much bigger than himself. The words service, pride, happiness, it was a repeated mantra as he talked to our son. As he shared his career thus far of 8 years and his intent to retire from the Navy. Now, I know he's a recruiter. I know he's got a pitch. I know he most likely has a quota to fill. But to his credit, he didn't describe life in the Navy as a carnival cruise. The most compelling part of his speech was his sharing about deep satisfaction, the enduring pride that comes with serving one's nation and its people. His passion for service was so compelling that for a moment, a brief moment, I almost asked for a brochure, a pamphlet for chaplain, Navy chaplain. No, I mean, not really. Me in a mile and a half in 12 minutes, that ain't going to happen. I'm too old now. Love of country, propel service members guarding our nation and freedom this morning like Petty Officer Fernandez. It's that pride, that understanding that they're serving something larger than themselves that blesses all of us. And it is love for one's local church that propels its members and friends to wholeheartedly offer their service to the church, to their church, and its mission. Our scripture today was penned by the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to an early Christian community in the Greek city of Corinth. Speaking of the Navy, Corinth was a port city. And this church, the church in Corinth, had problems, had some issues, and many of the issues that this particular church dealt with was around being a church in a port city, meaning it had a lot of benefits, but there's a lot of temptation in a port city, namely the red light district. And the church in Corinth had some issues with the red light district. That's another sermon for another day. But though this church had issues, and by the way, brothers and sisters, all of them do, including our church, Paul in this letter casts his vision for what the church is to be and how it's to function. And for Paul, the church isn't a building, never mentions a building. For Paul, church isn't a steeple. For Paul, the church is not the deluded, popular idea that's alive in Western culture in the 21st century, that the church is a business that's meant to serve its customers. Oh no, not for the apostle called by Jesus Christ. This is his picture of what a healthy, vibrant, spiritually growing church looks like and how it functions. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. Just as one body, though one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. For Paul, the church isn't a building, it's not a steeple, it's not a cheap imitation of our consumer culture. Oh no. It is a dynamic body of Christ. The church, the local church, is the continuation of Jesus' body, his heart, and his mission in the world today, post-resurrection. Reading further in chapter 12, Paul mentions the eyes needing the hands, the feet needing the ears. Every member is a part of one section. And every section, every body part, helps comprise the greater whole. Now, unlike first-class petty officer Fernandez, who shared that Clay could choose, you know, his job if he chose to enlist, Paul here makes a clear distinction. Paul asserts that as baptized members of the body of Christ, that it is the Spirit in baptism who chooses which gifts are imparted to each member of the greater whole. It's part of your baptism. Now it's part of your DNA. You are given at least one spiritual gift, or perhaps more, that's to guide which body part that you're to serve with so that the larger whole may function for the glory of God. Just think about it. God, in his infinite wisdom, chose to impart to you and to me a gift or gifts so that our local church can function as the body of Christ, serving the community and the world that God gives us to serve. Now, in the New Testament, there are a variety of spiritual gift lists. Here are just some. You may have these gifts, or you certainly have one of the gifts if you're baptized in Christ. Believing, faith, those are the people, those are the prayer warriors in the church. Comforting, mercy. Directing, leadership. Discerning, encouraging or exhortation. Evangelizing, sharing the good news. Giving, pastoring, organizing. Pioneering or apostleship, beginning new ministries for the glory of God, problem solving, wisdom, speaking out, prophets, supporting the hands of Christ, practically serving, often behind the scenes, teaching, etc. If you'd like to learn more about this, Pastor Beth is starting class tonight, 6:15, 3 weeks on spiritual gifts. Does a great job, helps you discover your own gift, and then it helps you find your part, the body of Christ, in the greater whole. So the question is today, are you serving? Are you serving in such a way that you're helping this church to be a healthy, vibrant, spiritual community? Or is church for you? Is it 1 hour? Once a week? Is it you receiving, but not necessarily sharing the spiritual gift that God gave you for service to the church? Or today, has service largely been on your terms? Well, if you need some motivation to think about service, to getting out of the pew, making a difference, finding your body part for the greater whole, let me give you now 3 very short reasons why you want to be serving. Number one, serving allows you to witness miracles. Serving allows you to have a front row to watch God do what God does. Later this fall, our series is going to be around miracles, Jesus's miracles, the meaning behind the miracles. It's going to be a good series. And one of my favorite miracles of Jesus was his first one. And you know the story, Cana of Galilee. Jesus was at a wedding reception. And unlike wedding receptions today, hors d'oeuvres start at 6:30, you're home by 10:15. That's not first century Judaism. That's not the party that Jesus went to. Wedding parties were multi-day affairs. And the host of this party, we don't know why, maybe he's not the sharpest tool in the shed, but he ran out of wine before the party was supposed to be over. Enter Jesus. Enter Jesus, who calls for some vats of water, stale, most likely unsanitary water. Bring me some jars of water, says Jesus. And then in the back room of that home, Jesus does what only Jesus can do. He transforms that stagnant water into the world's best wine, a symbol of the kingdom of joy Jesus brings. Now, when you think about it, who got to see that miracle? Was it the bride and groom? No, they probably didn't even know that there was a crisis around the beverages. Was it the host? No, this clueless host knew that he was running out of wine, and now suddenly they're bringing out the vats of wine. How about the guests who were being served? No, John tells us that what they say is, hey, we've never had an experience like this. The host brings out the best wine before people get tipsy. Then they bring out the cheap stuff. But this is the first time they brought out the best wine at the end. It was only the servants who saw heaven and earth kiss. Friends, it is servants who get to witness miracles. Talk to a tutor at Hawkins, and they'll share a story of miracle. Talk to someone like Holly and those who work with the furniture ministry. They can tell you stories of watching God do what only God can do. You could try to talk to a Stephen minister about it, but because of they're bound by confidentiality, they can't share. That miracle is only between them and their care receiver. Talk to a faithful committee member walking into a tense meeting where nobody could see a way forward on an issue. And suddenly God shows up. And mature leaders with the spiritual gift of wisdom suddenly find a way when no one could see a way. Friends, you can overhear stories of miracles in worship. But when you serve, you find your part in the body of Christ. You witness them firsthand. Number two, really quick, serving surrounds you with others who can help you follow Jesus. When you serve, you inherently build relationships with one another. You learn to care for each other through the ups and downs of life. You fulfill Jesus' vision of the church. Love one another as I have loved you. That's the shortest point two in 21 years of preaching. And number three, serving brings the reward that's born from obedience. We all know something about sin in this church, do we not? Can the church say amen? Can the choir say amen to sin? We have all sinned, says Paul. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, and we know the pattern. Sin for a moment brings pleasure. It brings a pleasure to choose greed over generosity. It brings for a moment pleasure to choose infidelity over fidelity, choosing to put ourself first over others. You know how it goes. But then there's the reward. The reward. Bitter fruit from sin. The guilt, the shame, the spiritual diseasement. Until we repent and we turn again to God in a new way of life, obedience is the exact opposite flow. Yes, we love to be served, but when we choose obedience, the obedience of Christ. Peter saying to his church, serve one another according to your gifts. There comes a reward, a joy in knowing that we have pleased our Lord, we have served others, and we have benefited the church. Service, brothers and sisters, bring its own rewards. So are you serving today? And if not, are you willing? Are you willing to take a step out of the pew to make a difference according to your gifts? I'm going to show you a picture of the church that you've never seen before. A couple weeks ago, we sat down and we listed, and this is not a comprehensive list of all the ministries and missions of this church, but we counted 57 core ministries of this one local church. Committees, United Methodist Women, Wesley groups, SWAT, youth ministry, handbells, etc. I want to show you in one powerful visual who we are as the body of Christ. And as you see these 57 core ministries, ask yourself, which part, which one or two can I use my gifts for in order to serve the greater whole? As Paul mentioned, many of you probably already have your pledge cards. It's not till October 13th this year. They look different. We're not only asking you and all of us to grow toward the biblical standard, a tithe, 10%, 1 in 10, for ministry, God's ministry in the world, but this card's going to ask you also, will you make other commitments, including a valuable gift, your service? If you're interested in one of these ministries, you can mark that on the card, or you can talk today to a pastor, a lay leader, or one of our staff members. Let's take a look before the offering, giving thanks for these 57 core ministries that we're about.